Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Yesterday I woke up with a little bit of a throat tickle and a lot of phlegm. So forgive me if I cough this morning, it's not intentional. We're looking at the book of 1 John and we've been studying 1 John 5 to 10 for the last 3 weeks. Let me remind you of the passage. This is the message we heard from him. And declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the truth as he is in, walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in us. The title I've been using over the last 3 weeks is, Does Your Walk Match Your Talk? Does your walk match your talk? In the first week, we looked at the last part of that phrase, your talk. And as we looked at the subject of your talk, I asked the question, when you talk about Jesus, is it truly Jesus of the Bible that you are talking about? And as we investigated that subject, we asked ourselves, what's the source of our message? We asked ourselves, does our message bring clarity or confusion? And finally, we asked ourselves, is when we talk about Jesus, do we talk about what we've still got to do? Or do we talk about what we have received from Jesus? Friends, the true gospel is a matter of receiving from Jesus. There are many that are trying to tell us, you've still got to do something to be saved. But our talk should not be like that. Then last week we looked at the subject of our walk. How's our walk going? And then we asked the question, when you walk about as a Christian, do your deeds match your declarations? Do your deeds match your declarations? And in this passage, there are three declarations that people make. They make three claims, and we saw that if we claim, it says, to have fellowship with him, if we claim to be without sin, and if we claim that we have not sinned. And we discovered, friends, that if you declare the one who is light, that you know the one who is light, you can no longer walk in darkness, friends. You should not be walking in darkness if you claim to be a Christian. Your life, friends, should be different. Now, I'm not talking about the fact that we all sin. We're all sinners, friends, and we need to deal with that. But I'm talking about the person who claims to be a Christian who habitually goes on sinning day after day after day. If we claim that we have no sin at all, then we make God a liar. And if we claim we have no sins, we claim that we don't do anything, friends, then you can't be doing the truth. Because the truth tells us that we are sinners. So, if you declare that you're not so bad, then I'm all right, I'm not so bad, then you can never truly know what forgiveness is. Because if you think you're good enough, friends, you'll never turn to God. It's only when you realize that you are rotten to the core, that there is no good thing in you, as the Apostle Paul describes himself. Only when you realize, friends, that you desperately need Jesus will you turn to him and receive his forgiveness. And if you declare that you are God, you say, well, I don't need God. Well, friends, what you're doing is you're making God, capital G, to be a liar. So that brings us to the hope in this message. The hope in this message, friends, is what do we do if we are failing in our talking, in our walking? What can we do? Because, friends, I'm sure we all feel like we fail. We all make mistakes. And John isn't calling us, friends, he's not telling us you're condemned forever. He's just saying, if you claim that you don't need God, friends, then you're in trouble. But if you realize you need God, there is an answer. There are two answers we find in this passage. So what must you do if you're failing in your walk and your talk? Firstly, if you feel you're failing in your walking and your talking, the first thing I encourage you to do is don't give up. Don't give up as a Christian. Verse 7 says, verse 6 says, if we claim to walk in the light but walk in the darkness, friends, that's a problem. But verse 7 says, if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will forgive you. What's John meaning when he says, don't give up? This is what he means, friends. First of all, he means that if you feel like you're failing in your walking and your talking, what you need to do is you need to change your habits. Create new habits. The verse says, if you walk in the truth or in the light, as he is in the light, in the same way that verse 6 says, if you walk in darkness, there it is talking about habitually walking in darkness. If you're always sinning, and you're doing nothing about it, friends, then you must do the next thing. You need to change your habits to walk in the light. Friends, the wonderful thing about becoming a Christian is that before you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit lived apart from you. But when you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in you. And now that you are a Christian, you have the capacity and the ability, not in your own strength, but in the strength that the Holy Spirit gives you, not to sin. You can change. You don't have to continue in darkness, friends. People who don't have the Holy Spirit in their lives, they have no capacity to change. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person, friends, who does not have the Holy Spirit in them is a sinner and can't help themselves because that's their natural state. But for those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the wonderful thing is, friends, we have the power to say no to sin. We can change our habits. Habits are not easy to change, friends. Habits take a long time to change. We need to understand that. If we've been habitually sinning in one particular way, friends, it'll take a long time. Psychologists tell us, if you can avoid doing something for at least 40 days, 40 days is a long period of time, isn't it? You will begin to develop a new habit. But there's something else we can do, friends, is we can make ourselves accountable to others. You see, verse 6 says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship with one another. The word fellowship there, friends, isn't talking about the fellowship that we have with God. Because Jesus says, when you accept him, you have fellowship with him as he has fellowship with the Father. But this particular verse, friends, is reminding us that when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we begin to fellowship with one another. Have you ever noticed what people do when they begin to live a more sinful life? Even although they may have claimed to be a Christian, I tell you what they do, is they avoid going to church, they avoid going to Bible study, they avoid youth group, they avoid other Christians, because friends, they know that when others see what they're doing in their lives, they'll probably feel ashamed by that. Anybody who's ever dealt with an alcoholic will know this about people who have alcoholism. If you go to the website of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I did yesterday, just to check up as I was preparing, to find out the steps of treating alcoholism. So what are the steps of dealing with alcoholism? The first thing you need to do, friends, if you want to deal with alcohol, is you've got to admit you've got a problem. You can't deal with alcohol problems until you admit you've got a problem. And anybody, any psychologist, I'm often asked as a pastor, won't I go and deal with that person's sin? And I tell people when they ask me, you know, they tell me, you must go and deal with that person's sin. I say to them, I won't. And you'll say to me, well, how can you do that? You're a pastor. You're meant to go and help other people. And I simply say to them, friends, I cannot deal with anybody else's sin until they want to deal with it themselves. Friend, I can tell them the truth, but until you want to deal with your sin, friends, you've got to admit there's a problem. Then the Alcoholics Anonymous tell you've got to believe in a higher power. Well, we would say believe in Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. He sends you his Holy Spirit who gives you the power to overcome sin. Then Alcoholics Anonymous will tell you, avoid tempting situations, or avoid tempting people, or avoid tempting places. Don't go to the places, friends, where you know you're going to have a problem with dealing with a particular sin that you may have. And then, what do they say? Join Alcoholics Anonymous and go to the meetings every week. That's what they say. Why? Why, friends? It's exactly what John is reminding of us in this passage. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus will forgive us our sins. You see, friends, when we walk together in light, we hold each other accountable. I want to say this, friends. You will be influenced by the people and the company that you keep. If you keep bad company, they will influence you. Let me give you an illustration. This last week we bought a bag of pineapples. We had some of them on Wednesday night at our Bible study time. Yesterday I began to smell something in the fridge, in the kitchen. Thing wasn't smelling so lekker. So I looked around and eventually I came across the bag of pineapples that we had bought earlier in the week. And guess what? One of them were rotten. Right at the bottom of the bag, there was a rotten one, and it had spread its juice all over the counter. But you know, there was one other one that was rotten. Which one do you think it was? The one right next to it. The one right next to it, friends, the one corner was beginning to go rotten already. Because it was living next to the rotten pineapple, it too began to go rotten. So the Bible is clear, friends. If you want to deal with sin, be accountable to somebody. Join a group. Make yourself accountable to them. Thirdly, if you want to deal with sin, friends, yes, the wonderful thing, just rest in the mercy and the grace of God. Two weeks ago, I reminded you about the power of the blood of Jesus, friends. I reminded you that the blood of Jesus, friends, fully satisfies the requirements of God. The blood of Jesus fully paid the penalty of our sin. The blood of Jesus, friends, purchased the redemption of all men. The blood of Jesus fully washes us clean from our sins. The blood of Jesus removes the curse of sin. The blood of Jesus fully sets us free from the condemnation of sin. The blood of Jesus, friends, fully opens the door of eternal life. The blood of Jesus, friends, protects us through the power that we receive when we come under the blood. Our problem, friends, is we're not trusting in the blood of Jesus. Because you see, we want to do it ourselves. We want to save ourselves. We think that if we just do enough good things, God has to forgive us, friends. The big problem, friends, I don't know about you, but the more sometimes I try to fix my sin, the more problems I have. The reality is, friends, the harder we try, the more guilty we feel when we fail. It becomes a horrible cycle, friends. We fail, we feel guilty, we try hard, we fail again, we feel guilty, we try harder, we fail again, we feel guilty, we try harder, we fail again, we feel guilty, until, friends, we feel overwhelmed. And then just we say, oh, well, I can't do this. I might as well give up. No, friend, it's about trusting Jesus and the power he gives you to overcome. When I was in the army, I took up smoking. Some of you are, oh, the pastor is a smoker. I did it because where I was in the army in Upington, there were lots of muggies, gnats. And when you smoked and you blew smoke around you, the muggies didn't land on you. So at first I was just sucking and blowing smoke to get rid of the muggies. But in the end, I started inhaling. And guess what? You know what? I got addicted. And in the end, I couldn't stop smoking. Felt very guilty about it. Folk, don't misunderstand me. I'm not condemning smoking. My father was a smoker. My two brothers were smokers. I know they're in heaven. I'm not worried about that. But for me, it was the wrong thing to do. And I knew deep in my heart, what I was doing was displeasing God. For me. But I couldn't stop. I tried. When I would go home during the breaks, I would leave the cigarettes behind at this army base. But after 2 or 3 days, I was looking for cigarettes. You know that feeling? Till the day I left the army. On the day I left, as I was leaving, I said, Lord, I need you to liberate me from this addiction. I left my last carton of cigarettes at the army camp, and I went home, and I've never needed it again. Why? Because, friends, I stopped trying to do it myself. Now, if you're a smoker, please don't worry. I'm not fussed by it, I promise you. I lived with my father and my brothers for years. It didn't bother me at all. I'm not bothered if you're a smoker, unless God is convicting you about it. Then you need to deal with it, friends. And not only smoking anything, friends. Stop trusting in your own strength and start trusting in the strength God can provide for you to overcome what may be sin for you. Secondly, so we've learned if you feel you're failing in your walk and your talk, don't give up. Secondly, if you feel you're failing in your walk and your talk, tell God about your problem. One of the most wonderful verses in the Bible, I've quoted it often, 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. One of the most beautiful verses there is in the Bible, friends. But it starts with this. If you confess your sins. The word confess in Hebrew is the word homologeo. And it's actually made up of two Greek words. Homo, which means the same, and logeo, which means word. You know those two words. Homo sapiens, we're all humans, and logos, logeo, Jesus is called the word. So what does the word homo logeo mean? Friends, what John is saying, if you confess your sins, friends, he's saying this, tell God the truth about your problem. Stop spinning stories about your sin. This last week, I had to confront one of the children here at school about something they had done. So when I called the child to have a chat with the child, the first thing he said to me, I didn't do it. Except it was caught on video. So I opened up the video on my computer and I showed him that he had done it. Then the next words out of his mouth were, my cousin made me do it. Then the next words were, he's taken it. I haven't got it anymore. Then the next words were, well, it's not so bad. I only took that. You see, that's like all of us, isn't it? When we talk about other people's sin, we're very good at kind of labeling their sin. But when we talk about our own sin, friends, we're always looking for excuses. Think of the biblical examples. Eve, the serpent made me do it. Cain, where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Samson. Samson who denied the Lord by having a haircut. Also had one yesterday. Didn't deny the Lord, fortunately. Saul. When Saul was told, don't go into battle, he turned to evil witchcraft. When God condemned him, he blamed the witch. David. David, who committed adultery, when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, said, who is this man that's done these bad things? He could not see his own sin, friends. Peter, when he was asked as he was standing around the fire, Peter, this man belongs to Jesus. Peter said, I never knew him. I don't know who you're talking about. I'm not part of them. And then the cock crows. Friends, if you want to deal with sin, get real about it. That's the crazy thing, friend. God already knows. If you think that you're sinning behind closed doors where nobody can see you, God knows. God's there. God knows, friends. God knows you've got a problem in that area. And so when John writes, if we confess, all he is saying to us is, you have to take responsibility for your own sin. Stop trying to blame somebody else. Simply tell God the truth about your sin. But friends, yes, the wonderful thing is when you tell God the truth about your sin, friends, the next thing you will discover is that God has already forgiven you. Isn't that incredible? The verse doesn't end with saying, if we confess our sins, you're just going to clap over the head. If you confess your sins, you'll be guilty for the rest of your life. The Bible makes it clear, friends, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. It doesn't say, if you confess your sins, you've got to deal with them yourselves. No, friends, God says, if you confess your sins, he's the one who's going to deal with it. God is faithful. The Apostle Paul writes about faithfulness. He says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit and the body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because the one who calls you is faithful. And he will do it. He writes in 1 Corinthians, he will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, is faithful. Friend, God will forgive you. God is just. Peter writes, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God. Friends, if we would just confess, God would justify us and he sanctifies us. What does that mean? When we confess our sins, friends, God takes our sin upon himself. And we are justified. The best description of being justified means is when you tell God about your sin and hand your burden over to him, it is just as if I had never sinned. Justified. But God doesn't stop the work there, friends. God carries on and he sanctifies us. John describes it as being purified. The word purified simply means is God is sanitizing us for use in his kingdom. As we allow God to work more and more in our lives, friends, we become more and more able to do His work. So, if you feel like you're failing in your walk and your talk, well, let me first just say, join the club. Join the club. Because I don't know one Christian who doesn't feel like that at some point in time. I don't know one person, friends, who doesn't feel like they're failing in one way or another. But don't just leave it there, friend. If you feel like you're failing, don't give up. Don't give in to sin, friends. God will empower you to deal with it. But more importantly, friends, God will deal with your problem. Tell God about that problem. Hand it over to Him. Ask Him to give you the strength to cope with where you're failing in your walk and your talk. We're going to sing a song as we bring the service to a close. And those who are going to be baptized are going to come and get ready, change into their baptismal outfits, and then I'll join them there. Let's pray first. Lord, reveal those areas in our hearts and lives that we need to put right with You. Thank You, Lord, for providing the solution to our sin. Thank You, Lord, that we can rest in the power that You provide through Your Holy Spirit. We don't have to do this on our own, Lord. But thank You that we can come to You and confess our sin. Thank You that we can know Your forgiveness. Lord, we're ready. We're ready to live for You in every possible way. We confess whatever may be in our hearts and our lives, Lord. We declare our desperate need of You. Speak, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, highlight those areas so that we're ready to deal with handing full control of our lives over to You. We give You all the glory for Jesus' sake.